Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
National NFL insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're doing good. Lots of news and developments going on in the NFL. And I guess we could start with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and this conversation he had with Deion Sanders. Do you think that Sanders is a real target for them?
I do. I mean, the most unconventional organization,
yes,
in the NFL, you could say, is the Dallas Cowboys. And but you know, you look at it from there's a couple of reasons why it really makes sense. I mean, what Deion has done at Colorado over the last couple of years, he's shown that he knows how to build a program, and it's certainly not, you know, apples to apples going from college to the NFL. But there are a lot of things that you can take from, you know, and even as Colorado started last year, you know, before the late season fall, you know, I was talking to a bunch of people around the league, and they were like, hey, like, this is a conversation that owners deserve to have. And if they think that there's any chance whatsoever that Deion could be a good head coach, you have to pick up the phone. You have to try to get him in the room just to hear what he has to say. And even if he's not interested, okay, shake hands and at least you tried. But it's nowadays where teams are interviewing like 15 to 20 candidates, I don't see why you wouldn't pick up the phone for a guy like Deion. But then, you know, you look at his connection with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and the spotlight. I mean, there's possibly nobody who could handle that better than someone like Deion with his figure and, you know, the way that he just carries himself and how beloved he would be down there. I mean, he'd be great for them. And then the other part, too, is, you know, it took the Cowboys a while, relatively speaking, to make their decision on Mike McCarthy. For it to come out yesterday, they didn't really help themselves when it comes to the interview process, especially as it relates to coordinators who are going to be in the playoffs for at least another week or two, or possibly longer if you look at the guys in Detroit. And it's like, okay, well, why would you wait that long? Oh, I guess we found out last night, because you don't really care about what the rules are, because you can go get somebody from college like Deion. So I do think there's some credibility to this.
I guess the next question is, do you think that this will be a search kind of like the Atlanta Falcons had last year, where there's, you know, like a 10-man board and 15 head coaching candidates you're interviewing? Or do you think it'll be more like the Patriots this year, where it's like, okay, let's check the boxes and we know we're going to have Vrabel all along?
Yeah, I would say it's probably closer to the small side, just because they waited so long. Because, you know, I don't know. Just try to read between the lines of what happened in Dallas over the last 9 days, or even extend it beyond that. I mean, the way that Jerry Jones was so glowingly speaking about McCarthy over the final month of the season, it seemed like they were going to bring him back. And there were reasons that move could have been justified as well. But I think just taking as long as they have, they realize, I mean, it's not like they're blind to the rules or the interview rules or the interview policies and when certain coaches are available based on the playoff schedule. So I don't think they purposely backed themselves into a corner by waiting this long. I think they had a strategy. I guess we'll go back to the unconventional word. It's somewhat of a unique strategy. But I mean, if it winds up with Deion going to Dallas, then I think we're all just going to sit back and I have our minds blown at both the idea of the strategy and the execution of it.
Well, speaking of last, I guess maybe the last thing for these guys in head coaching opportunities, Steve Spagnuolo interviewed with the Jets, and that's one that's surprising to me. He got his shot years ago with the Rams when they were still in St. Louis, and he's just continued to be, to me, the best defensive coordinator in the league the last, you know, 5 to 6 years easily. There's no chance he leaves Kansas City as a DC there, where he's got it. You know, it's basically a Super Bowl run every year to try to fix a Jets team that's a debacle, right?
Well, the way you laid it out there, I certainly see why. You know, that side of the argument absolutely makes all the sense in the world. The other part too, though, is, you know, you've got a guy, like you said, Steve Spagnuolo, who's accomplished. He's done a lot of great things. But these guys all have egos. And even if you're a humble guy like Spagnuolo, where the ego doesn't show, I mean, you get to the top of your profession, you want to try to think, hey, do I have another crack at this? And time is sort of running out when you get a little bit older in the business. And who knows how many more opportunities he's going to have to become a head coach. And I certainly understand there are very valid questions about can you win with the Jets? I mean, whether Vince Lombardi could win with the Jets. It's just there's a lot that has to change within that organization. But if you're Spagnuolo, again, like the coaches, they just live in this bubble. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, they are insulated. They focus on football. They think about football all the time. They think about how they can get their teams better at it. So they're not going to go into a situation thinking, oh, I'm screwed. Like, they're going to go into this confident. And then the other part, too, is it really seems like the Jets want to pair a veteran coaching personality and a veteran front office person together. So if Spagnuolo goes in there with, let's say, Borgonzi or somebody else that he knows who's been around the block, then he's going to feel a lot more comfortable in whatever their process is going to be with the Jets. So, like, yeah, I mean, I certainly see why you want to be a Super Bowl contender with the Chiefs year after year after year. That's a pretty good life. And the pressure's off because you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's on the other side of the ball, that you're not coaching. But you've done a really good job with your side. But, like, again, these guys, they all want to be head coaches.
Hanging out with Jeff Howe, NFL insider for The Athletic. And, Jeff, before we move on to the Falcons defense coordinator position, let's talk a little bit about the future for Mike McCarthy and a team that we always obviously pay a lot of attention to here in Atlanta is this New Orleans Saints just down the road. Their head coaching position is open. Is the Saints job an attractive job? I haven't really been able to make my mind up. Obviously, they've got money allocated in certain places. Quarterback position kind of up in the air. What do you think the odds are that a guy like Mike McCarthy would take a look at New Orleans?
I think the odds would be decent because, the attractiveness of the job. You know, last week I did a quick poll of a handful of coaches to see how they would rank these seven openings, and I included the Cowboys in that. And the Saints were among the bottom three. They were not. I think the Jets and the Raiders finished tied for last, and then it was the Saints slightly above them. And there was a pretty good dip between four and where the Saints were at five. And the quarterback is a big reason for that. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty over Derek Carr's future. And then you kind of use that as an example to look at the rest of the salary cap. I mean, their books are in rough shape. And I know that's been their strategy for years, and it worked for a long time. But when you get to the point where you need a hard reset, you know that you're probably not going to contend for the NFC South title next year. You got to start to look at maybe offloading a lot of these contracts to try to get yourself in a better situation at a clean run at this thing. So that's a big concern. And the thing that teams or the coaches like about the Saints is there's some structure within the organization. There's stability. It sounds like they've got a lot of good pieces in place just from a front office and a leadership point of view. But the hesitance is just the salary cap and how realistic it is to turn this thing around quickly enough.
Jeff, we've been discussing on the Falcons front who their new defensive coordinator might be, and there are a number of candidates that we ran through, and I won't run through them all, but like Steve Wilkes is a guy, Robert Saleh is a guy, Jeff Ulbrich, someone that is very familiar with Atlanta fans. What are you hearing, or what do you think might happen?
Well, there was also a report last night from NFL Network, the Lou Anarumo would have a chance to interview. So there's some good candidates out there. I mean, Wilkes is very highly regarded, would know the division fairly well just from some experience down there. So, there are some good candidates. And it's just in terms of like what I'm hearing, I don't have a ton for you on that one just because it's still so early in the head coaching process that, it's kind of wild how this process works where you've got these head coaching candidates and they go into these interviews, and the question's going to come up, how can you build your staff? And, of course, these guys are all these head coaches or the candidates are going to have a list of names. These are going to be my coordinators, but this is also plan A, B, and C. And then the other part, too, is, the Patriots got their hire out of the way quickly. How much longer are these other ones going to drag out? And if you, let's say hypothetically, I know this doesn't directly relate to the Falcons, but there is some loose relation, so bear with me here. But, like, let's say you're a team that really wants to go after Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson is talking to, let's say, three defensive coordinator candidates, and they're saying, I really want to go with this guy. But all of a sudden, coordinator candidate one gets an offer from another coach who gets hired more quickly, and now all of a sudden Ben Johnson's down to, you know, candidate two or whatever. So these things change so quickly. So you can sit there and say, all right, Robert Saleh would be a great defensive coordinator candidate for the Falcons, and he absolutely would. But is Saleh going to have head coaching opportunities first? Or how does he feel about going back to the 49ers? Or what happens if Ben Johnson calls? So it's just – it's hard for these cards to kind of – or for these dominoes to fall. It doesn't always fall in a straight line because, you know, you've got to wait for some other things to happen with the head coaching process, if that makes sense.
Got about a minute left, Jeff. I saw your article where you broke down the games, and then y'all had a mock, did the percentage of who has the most chance, which Detroit was the biggest chance to win the Super Bowl, I think like 25%. Who is your favorite to win the Super Bowl this year?
I like Detroit for a good chunk of the season. I was very skeptical going into that Vikings game at the end of the season. And actually, after what we saw last night, maybe that wasn't that big of a proving point game. But I thought they answered a lot of questions just off the injuries. So the way the Lions handled that atmosphere, you know, you're going to get that great home crowd the rest of the NFC playoffs. It's hard for me to think the Lions can't do this.
Jeff, we appreciate the insight from you joining us this morning.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Have a great week.